We continue today with our Year A readings for the sake of the scrutinies for those who are entering the church, in particular those who are receiving baptism. Our gospel today is a very rich text, and just like last week, it's a text that tells us of an historical account, something that actually happened, but is also supposed to be read through a spiritual lens, giving us insight into our own lives. But first, a brief word about our first reading. It's a call of David. There are two very important things that we need to make sure we take from this story every time that we hear of David at all. First, when all of his brothers were assembled as the potential king, the one that was going to be raised up, David wasn't even a contender. David wasn't even seen as somebody that could possibly be given this job, this role, this vocation. That's exactly who God called. In our life, time and time again, we focus on our inadequacies, our imperfections, our inability to be doing the jobs that are before us. We are not the ones that should proclaim the good news because of whatever our failure might be. But David shows us again that doesn't matter. God can choose us anyway. And that's the second point, is God chooses us. We don't fall into this on accident. It's not just something that happens to us. God freely chooses each one of us. It's an expression of his love. And God loves you. He's chosen you. We're shown that time and time again, especially in our Lenten readings. That's what we see in our gospel today. This beautiful story of our Lord healing this man's sight. Of course, he is physically blind, but he's also spiritually blind. It's pointed out several times throughout this gospel that he is in sin. He's born into sin. As they say at the end, he's born completely into sin. That is every one of us. We are all born completely in sin, not able to see a thing, not able to do anything for ourselves. But every gift that we receive, every gift that God has given us, is that a gift, freely given. It is up to us to receive. Now, Lord, it comes to this man to offer him healing. And there's a lot that we can talk about just in how our Lord heals. But our Lord goes down to the dirt, spits, makes clay. We see in this a sign of Jesus himself, of humanity coming together to divinity. The Christ divinity in his head, the saliva comes from, comes down to earth, comes down to us. So we see a representation of the entire incarnation, the entirety of Jesus' life and his mission. He comes to save, he comes to restore sight, he comes to heal. We also see a glimpse into creation, which of course is how John begins his gospel, alluding to the opening words of Genesis. Just as God breathed over creation, it comes into existence. As he takes dust, puts it together, and breathes life into it, man is created. John is pulling in all of these images to tell us that this is, again, the fulfillment of everything that we've ever hoped for. Everything that God has done is happening right here, and we see it in this story. It's fulfilled in our life every time we enter into these realities. He takes the clay and he puts it on the eyes of the blind man. He tells him to go to the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So he goes to the waters of one being sent, representative of the waters of baptism. Which again is why the church has us contemplate these for this reading for those who are getting ready to enter the church. So this is their story right now. We also want to realize this is what happened to us on the day of our baptism. We were sent into the waters of baptism. At that time, we were anointed as priests, prophets, and kings to go out into the world to proclaim the good news, to take the message of Christ to the people around us, to tell people about Jesus. Talked about that a little bit last week, of taking the good news of how God has healed us to our brothers and sisters, to invite them into a relationship with our Lord. We'll see later in this gospel that after this man is healed, There's a dialogue back and forth. The people want to go to his parents to make sure that this man was truly blind. And how do they respond when they can speak the truth of what Jesus has done? They turn into cowards. Go talk to him yourself. We don't want to deal with the punishment that you will give us. As we go through our Lenten journey, I think we should pay special attention to that short exchange. How many of us, when we are given the opportunity to tell people about our Lord, to pray in public, to invite somebody into repentance, how many of us turn into cowards? How many of us say, somebody else will do it some other time? Well, that's not my job. It's for somebody else. Far too often, we are those parents. Maybe a good resolution for the next few weeks of Lent and then Easter is to pray to be more bold, be able to proclaim the good news, be able to tell people about our Lord, to tell people about our relationship with him, so they may also be healed. Of course, we had this beautiful dialogue, this beautiful back and forth of them trying to wrestle with it. But we also see a beautiful insight into somebody that truly has handed themselves over to our Lord, and this man who has his sight restored. I know that I point this out every time we give this reading, but it makes me laugh every time it is proclaimed. They come back to the man, once again asking, what has happened? And he says, I told you already, did you not listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? He couldn't be further from the truth. But just pay attention to how bold that question is. That in the healing that has taken place with this man, he can see no other opportunity or no other possibility than people wanting to fall in love with our Lord. The people wanting to come face to face with him. That's the only thing that he can see that these people could possibly be going after. That's what we're meant to have in our own hearts. We are meant to be so radically in love with our Lord, the only thing that we can see as a possibility for the people before us is that they want a relationship with Christ, whether they know it or not. And to say it to whoever. These are the types of people that will hand Jesus over and kill him. They grow hostile, more and more so. And we see some of their anger starting to dwell up in our gospel today. And yet this man invites them anyway. And of course, we see some more back and forth in this dialogue between them. Again, go back and pray with it and put yourself in this scene. But then this man continues to go to our Lord. And this is a beautiful thing that I think, again, speaks to our life and why we have to be men and women of prayer. This man is given healing, but Jesus sends him away for that healing to take place. He's not with our Lord. So when our Lord is talking to him, he doesn't know that it is Jesus himself. He doesn't know that he is the one that has healed him. And so this man has to continue to make sure he's in dialogue with our Lord. And just like we saw last week, Jesus comes to him. He seeks him out. Make sure that he's in a position to be able to encounter, to dialogue with this man, to offer him that healing, to take him even further. It's a beautiful, beautiful reality. But that's what our Lord will do with us time and time again. And we're told that this man worshiped our Lord. Again, he hasn't risen from the dead. He has not fully revealed himself yet to humanity. But this man has radical trust. And then notice those who have been turned away from this man have been turned away from the Lord. The way that our Lord wraps this up, he says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. If you would have humbled yourself, if you would have entered into your condition and accepted where you are, I could have healed you. But he says, because you say we see, because you think you know what is going on, because you're trying to be in control of your life, your sin remains. I can't heal you. I can't fix you. Just like we saw last week with the woman, our Lord asked for water so that she could open up the door just a little bit to let Jesus in. This is why we have to humble ourselves before our Lord each and every day, acknowledging our sinfulness. It's why we begin every one of our masses with a penitential rite, acknowledging publicly that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Again, that is why our Lord has given us the sacrament of reconciliation, to receive the guarantee of the forgiveness of our sins, because if we think we are okay, our our sin remains. We stay stuck. We don't receive the healing because of our stubbornness. But if any one of these people would have had a change in heart, Jesus would have fixed it, would have taken care of it. Again, unbelievably beautiful, rich text for us to pray with. So please go back to it this week. Please sit with it. Walk through it slowly. Talk about it in our households. Put yourself in the different places of this scene. Where are we like the man who's had his sight restored? Where are we like those who are opposed to the Lord? Where are we like the cowardly parents? Where do we need to acknowledge to Jesus that we can't see? We are blind. Where we need his help. As we continue in our Mass today, let us pray in thanksgiving for the fact that our Lord does come to restore our sight. Let us pray that we may be able to humble ourselves before our Lord to receive his gift of healing.